Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us for worship today. Thanks, Reba. It's such a great set of worship today to draw us closer to Jesus and make much of him. Thanks so much. Well, one of the things I'm looking forward to doing once we get this pandemic behind us is to go down to the fish market on Main Street in Shediac, New Brunswick, and pick up a beautiful, fresh lobster. Now, I know I can get lobsters here in Canada, and I do appreciate the ability to have lobster here in Ottawa and Canada, but there's nothing quite like a fresh lobster from the East Coast. You know, I have to hand it to the men and women who risk their lives and in some cases get into very dangerous situations just to bring these little crustaceans to our dinner table as each lobster season unfolds. Of course, there are always some unique and interesting stories that happen each lobster season, from catching albino lobsters to very blue lobsters, as well as the occasional 30 to 40 pound beasts that are caught and sold at market. You know, in 1977, a lobster fisher caught a 44-pound, 6-ounce lobster off the coast of Nova Scotia. To this day, I believe that's the largest lobster that's ever been caught. Well, that's what Mike Packard was hoping for when he dove down into the depths to check on some of his lobster traps this past Friday off the coast of Massachusetts. Did you hear what happened to Josiah and Michael last week? It almost sounds like something ripped right out of a Bible chapter. Well, Mike was 45 feet below the surface when he says he felt a huge shove, and the next thing he knew, it was completely black. Well, he thought to himself, there's no way I'm getting out of here. I'm done. I'm dead. All I could think of were my two boys. They're 12 and 15 years old. Now, Packard, who was in scuba gear, because he was diving down to check his lobster traps, a very accomplished diver, I might add, he struggled to get free, which caused the humpback whale that had swallowed him to shake its head for about 30 to 40 seconds, subsequently surfaced and spit him or regurgitated him out of its mouth and spit him back into the sea. Well, Packard's crewmate, Joshua Mayo, says he saw Packard being expelled from the whale and quickly went and fished him out of the water. Well, they immediately radioed for help and got him to the hospital as quick as they could. And apart from some soft tissue damage, Michael Packard apparently is going to make a full recovery. He says when he is able, he's going to get right back in the water. The whale, which was feeding, probably inadvertently swallowed Packard in error. You see, the way in which a humpback whale gathers small aquatic creatures for its dinner, its meal, actually involves, in some ways, the whale obscuring its own vision. And the way in which they ingest or swallow big portions, it would be very easy for a human being to get drawn into that, I guess, partially. And in the case of Michael Packard, wholly. And it was then, in error, that the whale realized that it had swallowed something that it wasn't accustomed to having on its diet. We also know that humpbacks display altruistic behavior, which suggests why the whale returned to the surface and let Packard go. You know, whales are known to help humans. Whales are known to cooperate with humans. This is probably the case. This is probably why the whale surfaced and let him go. Well, in any event, he certainly has a whale of a tale to tell his family this weekend and in the coming days. Imagine being in the mouth of a great whale. He said, it was total darkness. Well, I'll take Michael's word for that, thanks. The dark? I can't say I have much fondness for the dark. As a kid, it actually scared me. I would avoid being caught in the dark, and at times it paralyzed my ability to go about my everyday routines in my life. Well, if I'm honest, I still don't care much for the dark, which has been a source of discussion over the years with my lovely wife, Heather, who enjoys total darkness for the purposes of having a good night's sleep. Well, in our passage, the Apostle Paul is contrasting the kingdom of God and the wrath of God as light and darkness. Simply put, as followers of Jesus, we are children of the light and not children of the dark or of judgment. You know, Paul is quick in this epistle to turn the conversation, from defense to offense. You see, for the Thessalonians, there is a desire to know that they will be okay. Don't you have a desire to know that you're going to be okay? You know, you go to the doctor and they say they want to do some follow-up testing just to make sure of something, and they send you home on a Friday saying, you know, don't worry about it. Well, what do you normally do? Well, you think about it all weekend. Right? We have this innate desire to know that we will be okay, and the Thessalonians are no different. There is a desire to know that they will be okay, that they will avoid judgment. Now, what Paul does here is wonderful. He simply points out that worrying about such things is not what a follower of Jesus is called to do. On the contrary, as people of the light and people of the day, we have absolutely visible and tangible ways to live out our calling, which will keep us prepared for whatever might come, including the return of Christ and the day of the Lord. Now, understandably, the church has been under scrutiny and persecution. The church has been tempted to take its eyes and focus off of the prize and to get sidetracked with some of the greater concerns that they might have, their well-being, their families, their livelihood, their freedoms. And Paul's letter is written to address these and to encourage, let me repeat that, to encourage them as they walk by faith together. You see, for the Thessalonians, this has been a cause of concern within their community of faith. Paul spends a fair bit of time referencing the day of the Lord and describing to them in some detail what it will be like on the day of Christ's return. Now, of course, there is currently, and there will be, much discussion about what this day, the day that Paul is referring to, what this is actually referring to, what event occurs here. Is this a gathering together of the church and the saints before some period of judgment, judgment on sinfulness and the world? Some might call this being caught away or a rapture of the church that will precede the tribulation of the world. Or is this simply referring to the literal end of the world and the coming judgment of God? Furthermore, do Christians need to be concerned or worried about such things? Well, I don't believe Paul's purpose here is to exhaustively describe and detail future events that, if we actually take Jesus' word for it, no one knows the day or the hour. So Paul doesn't know when this is going to happen. How could he? Jesus himself says he doesn't know the day and the hour. Only the Father knows. Now, we need to understand that Paul refers to these events as hope-filled, glorious events, which are intended for our encouragement and sustenance over our journey of faith. Paul over and over again says, so encourage one another with these words. So lift each other up with these words. So give each other a shot in the arm with these words. These words were not intended to scare. These words are not intended to admonish. To admonish anyone, but to build up and edify those who hear these words. Paul's goal here is to help believers walk confidently in the light of these coming events. Paul states that we are actually not like those who will be robbed like a thief in the night. Why? Because we will be ready. Now, Mike Packard wasn't sure what had happened. He said he felt a shove, and then he was enveloped by darkness. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't say that I expected or knew that the whole world was going to go into lockdown, so to speak. And in some cases, it really has. You know, Mike wasn't sure what had happened. He suspected that a great white shark had grabbed him and he was waiting to be torn to shreds. Because as he says in his interview, great whites in that part of Massachusetts off the coast in the Atlantic are actually quite plentiful. He was, however, prepared to be underwater. He was prepared with a wetsuit. He was prepared with scuba gear. And he also was prepared with years of experience and training as a diver. He was prepared to breathe underwater. And as it turns out, even in the mouth of a whale. Now, Paul's desire here is to remind the believers that they are actually prepared for what lies ahead. Because they're of the light and not of the dark. I appreciate Paul's directing us now immediately to a description of the armor of God. Right? He says, we have faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Now, don't miss what Paul is doing here. He is pointing us to the fact that what we do and what we say will show forth in what we believe. Right? This is This is Christian living at its finest. Even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of times of uncertainty, when we might get shoved and swallowed up in some sense by darkness, we can shine brightly even there because we are prepared. We are prepared with faith and love and hope. Faith and love are put on as a breastplate. Of course, Paul is linking this to the breastplate of righteousness, right? And he refers to that earlier in another epistle. Faith and love are what righteousness is all about. Faith in Jesus' work of salvation that pours out of our lives with the love of God for others, even those who persecute us. The Greek here describes this breastplate as something that we put on or that we have put on. Paul is referring to our conversion experience. Paul is referring to that time when we first received that gift of salvation from the Heavenly Father. He is also referring to the act of submitting to this truth daily as we walk in the light, as He is in the light. This ultimately points to our mindset. Our mindset that being as those who live in this future reality today, but we live it in the present. And so I know that this trouble that I may go through, I know that this experience of adversity that I may have to go through will pale in comparison to what awaits ahead in the presence of Jesus face to face, and to know Him and to be known and to experience the hope of salvation today, now, even in the midst of darkness. We have the hope of salvation just as a helmet is donned on the eve of battle to protect one's head and brain from trauma and injury. Now, we don't need to fear because we are of the light, even in the darkest of worlds, the darkest of places. Here's a little truth about light. Darkness cannot overcome it. Ever. Period. That's fact. Light does not disappear because darkness enters the room or comes in. It's actually the exact opposite. You see, darkness always disappears when the light comes. We should take great courage in knowing this because we are light bearers for the King. Because we are the light of the world, as Jesus describes His church. We bear the light of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You bring light wherever you go. Now, Paul's desire for the believers in Thessalonica and for us today is that we will be about the things we do in the light. He wants us to live out our faith, our love, and our hope in real terms, right where we are. And we do this as we patiently wait for the return of the Savior. You know, this pandemic This pandemic can and will sidetrack us if we are not careful. We will be consumed with the what ifs. We will be consumed with the what abouts. And we will lose sight of the light of truth that we are on mission for Christ Jesus and with Christ Jesus. And when darkness tries to swallow us up, let us remember that we are actually people of faith, love, and hope. And that these are actually our weapons against the darkness. When we do, the darkness will flee. May you be a bright light that shines in this dark world as you are actively putting on faith, love, and hope. My prayer for you is that wherever you might be, whatever you are going through, whatever the circumstances are, that you would know that nothing formed against you can stand. You are a child of the light, even in the darkest moments. That's not a whale of a tale. That's the truth about your light and your salvation. Let's encourage one another with these words. Amen.